zaman, not those who didn't know anything about Ashura, not those who were not trained in the camp of Ashura and Muharram and the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, be prepared for that. And pray that inshallah, Ya Rab, I wish to be and I want to be among the soldiers of Imam Zaman while I'm among the azadaran of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Rida alayhi salam says it is for this reason that when Sahib al-Zaman is uprising, his companions will be chanting, this is their slogan, Ya Latharat al-Hussein. Allahu Akbar. God knows how many millenniums by then is passed from Ashura. And still Imam Rida alayhi salam says the slogan of the companions of Sahib al-Zaman is Ya Latharat al-Hussein. Oh, revengers of Hussein. Somebody came and said, Aga, those who killed Imam Hussein centuries ago, they died. What do you mean, revengers of Hussein? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that, do you think that those who killed Imam Hussein were only Shamr and the like of the Shamr? Those who are in that line, they are all the murderers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in any generation. In as much as those who are in the line of Imam Hussein and the companions of Imam Hussein are the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even if they are born a millennium later. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Ya Ali.
Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein.
Allahu Akbar. Now, when Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman reappear, inshallah, may God hasten his reappearance, what is he going to do? What will happen in terms of religions? Are we still going to experience diversity of all different sects, religions, secularism, and however that the world order it is at the moment, or it will change? There is an ayah in the Quran, three times is repeated this ayah with a very similar tone. I'm only quoting one of the three instances, that is from Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 33, chapter 9, ayah 33. The other two are in Surah As-Saff and Surah Al-Fath, very similar to this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. That's the ayah of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah briefly says that if you want to know who God is the one who has sent his messenger, i.e. the Holy Prophet of Islam, with guidance and the religion of truth. دين الحق, religion of truth. What does it imply to you? When you say دين الحق, religion of truth, it implies that we have untrue religions and schools of thoughts as well. When you say that tonight I'm wearing my black shirt, if the shirts are only black, there is no need to say black shirt. You say that I'm only wearing shirt. But when you say black shirt, that means there is a white shirt in the cupboard as well. There is, I don't know, other colors as well. When God says Din al-Haq, or Din al-Qayyim and other ayat of the Quran, that means there is a true religion and all else are false religions. So what happens is that God is sending Prophet of Islam with guidance and the religion of truth for what? لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that he makes the religion of Islam superior over all other schools of thought, all other so-called religions that are not divine religions. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. I'm just literally translating it, and you have the translation on the screen, by the way, as well. Even though the polytheists, the disbelievers, in other verses, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, the same. Polytheists, kafirin, mushrikeen, they despise it, they loathe it, they don't like it. Tough luck. Because God does not want to fool humanity. God wants to guide humanity. Part of the guidance requires that the true religion prevails. Now, Mufassirin, Shia and Sunni discussed about the meaning of this ayah. They say that, well, this if it means that there is only religion of Islam, this hasn't happened yet, at least has not happened yet. In terms of the logic of Islam, yes, it has already happened. And it is for this reason, think about it. The Holy Prophet, you are not far from the story of Mubahala and Eid Mubahala. Over 80 ayat in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to the Holy Prophet to debate the Christians of Najran, the priests of the Christian of Najran, about divinity of Jesus. That, my friend, you are wrong. My dear, you are ideologically, your ideology is wrong, is virus. You have to debug it to no avail. finally the Holy Prophet says, come to a debate. This is another type of debate. تعالوا ندعو ابناءنا و ابناءكم. Until he says, ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنت الله على الكاذبين. Brothers, sisters, for God's sake, think about this. If there is religious pluralism, why would the Holy Prophet is compromising his life, the life of Bibi Fatima, the life of Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein? Why couldn't he say, okay, what's the difference? God is not petty to care whether you call him Jesus or Allah or anything else. No, the Prophet of Islam, according, this is not a hadith, anyone can doubt, question the sanad. This is ayah of the Quran. The Holy Prophet clearly says, come, let us call the curse of God upon the liar. Meaning that there is a liar here. Either I am lying or you are lying. Either Jesus is son of God or Jesus is slave and the messenger of God. Either proposition is a false proposition. Let us call the curse of God upon the liar. At the end of the day, there is a real God out there, isn't it? What happened? If they were sure, they would come. They backed off. You know the story. Okay? So superiority in terms of logic is there. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm sitting on the member of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. God is my witness. I'm old enough that I don't care about such things. Inshallah, I said God is my witness for the sake of God. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm proud of being a humble servant, follower, lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Living in the West for almost 2 decades, how many international seminars I've attended representing the Muslim community. There was no incident that I stepped out of that seminar saying, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada. What a beautiful mazhab we have been introduced to you. What a logical mazhab we are introduced to you. We take it for granted. There was no incident that the other party, other groups, other faith, it's about the spiritual. Said, Subhanallah, the spirituality of Islam is superseding all other spirituality of the other religions. I don't want to go to the details of it or anything like that. Alhamdulillah. But still there are different sects and religions existing. Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, when they came to this ayah, they said this ayah, the full meaning of this ayah will happen at the time of the reappearance of Sahib al-Zaman. At the time of Imam al-Zaman, there will not be any longer religions. Remember last night we learned that races, languages, tribes, nations, these are natural differences. But religions are in unnatural differences. Because you cannot say that all different ways lead to the same destination. This is unnatural. Imam al-Zaman, when he comes, he proved all others wrong. Now, here we have a hadith. Some people misunderstand this hadith, and I, inshallah, by the grace of God, I share with you a clue. When you want to learn about the meaning of an ayah of the Quran or a hadith, always the best way is to bring the cluster or the family of ahadith related to the same topic. Put them together, subhanAllah, you see that you'll have a clear clue about the meaning of the ayah and the meaning of the hadith. That's what we want to do here. There is a hadith that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that when Imam Mahdi will appear, do you know Imam Baqir, I'm quoting the hadith from Al-Ghaybah of Sheikh al-Nu'mani. Do you know why Imam Mahdi is called al-Mahdi? Imam al-Baqir says, لَأَنَّهُ يُهْدَى إِلَىٰ أَمْرٍ خَفِيٍّ. Because he is introduced, God will introduce him to a secret. What is that secret? The Almighty God will introduce him to a cave in Turkey where the original scriptures of the past are preserved. The original Torah, the original Injil, the original Zabur of David are preserved. Imam Mahdi will bring them out. And by bringing the original scriptures, will prove it to the adherents, followers of supposedly these scriptures, that what you are doing is wrong. And this is the true teachings of those previous prophets. Okay? Some mistakenly misinterpret this hadith, and they say, when Imam Mahdi comes, he says that, okay, Jewish community, come, I will rule you according to your own scripture. Christians, you come, I rule you according to Injil. First of all, anyone who is familiar with the alphabet of Christianity of today should know that Christians today, at least not the famous or semi-famous denominations that I'm very familiar with, There is no Christianity today who says that Jesus had a scripture, for your information. Christians, they don't believe that God sent a scripture to Jesus. So what is angel? That's why they don't believe in gospel in a singular form. They believe in gospels in a plural form. Gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to John, gospel according to Luke. Where is gospel according to Jesus? They said there is no gospel according to Jesus. Quran clearly confirms, numerous ahadith of Muslim Ahlul Bayt confirmed that there was a gospel according to Jesus. So as they persecuted, or they wished to persecute Jesus, they attempted to destroy his scripture naturally as well. So much so, today Christians, they don't believe there is any angel. My dear, when you say that Imam Mahdi will come and calls the Christians, says that, come, I rule according to angel, they don't believe Jesus had any scripture. Which angel are you talking about? To understand this hadith better, let's go to the family of ahadith of the word of Ma'sumin alayhi wasalam. To start with, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Lo wada'at li al-wasada." I wish opportunities provided to me, then I could sit with the followers or the leaders of different religions and prove them wrong from Torah, from their gospels, from the Bible. I will debate and prove them wrong. The Imam didn't have opportunity even to debate Muslims on the issue of the Khilafah because of the civil wars. Years, more than a century later, at the time of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. As you know, even though Ma'mun had an evil intention, but Imam Rida alayhi salam is the unique Imam of Imams of Ahlul Bayt who had the position of being like a prince of the country. Okay? Even though it was for political reasons that Ma'mun did, nevertheless. One day Ma'mun, a very cunning person, he wanted to kind of, astaghfirullah, disgrace Imam Rida alayhi salam and defeat Imam Rida alayhi salam. He called nationwide the chief of the archbishops of Christianity, the rabbis of the Jewish community, the chief of Zoroastrians, and from all different parts of the then world, to his palace, and he said, "Aga Mawlana, Ya Ali ibn Musa Rida, I want you to debate." He could not believe that Imam Rida, this is you're talking about Imam Ma'soom. Abu Salt, you find this hadith in the book of Tawheed of Sheikh Saduq, Uyun Akhbar of Sheikh Saduq, and many other references. Abu Salt al-Harawi comes to Imam Rida and says, "Aga, I'm very much concerned, I'm worried, Aga. Aga, these are not ordinary, these are the chief of the religions." Imam Rida alayhi salam said, "Abu Salt, you don't know Imam?" Ma'mun soon will regret it when he sees that I'm debating Zoroastrians speaking Persian even. I'm debating the Roman archbishop speaking Roman language. Well, let alone they're referring to their scripture and the book. And subhanAllah, Imam Rida alayhi salam is debating them one after the other and defeats them. It's mentioned, you find it. Also, you can find the book of Ihtijaj Tabrasi that is translated in English as well. Part of the argument of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida, inshallah you can find it on the screen. Imam Rida alayhi salam says, "Ana muqirrun bi nubuwwati Isa wa kitab." Look, you archbishop, I believe in the prophecy of Prophet Jesus and his book that you don't believe. But I wa kafirun, this word of Imam Rida, and I disbelieve in any Jesus who does not acknowledge the Prophet of Islam, does not acknowledge the book of the Prophet of Islam, and has not informed, educated his community, has not given the glad tidings of the coming of the last Prophet. If you believe in such Jesus, I am kafirun. I don't believe in such Jesus. This is the word of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. For those who believe in Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. In the most authentic books of ahadith of Shia. Now I have a question for you. Considering this ahadith, is it possible that when Imam Zaman comes, says, "I'm not going to practice the traditions of my ancestors, Imam Rida, Imam Ali, the Prophet, Ayah Mubahala of the Quran. I'm going to accept them as they are. Let us all live together, peacefully, sweet together. It's okay if you want to believe in Trinity. You are, God knows you mean well." Is that, where is the common sense really? And that's why Imam Erbaghan, inshallah, will conclude with this and go to the majlis tonight. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, when Imam Mahdi comes, yad'u an-nasa ila kitabillah wa sunnati rasulih wal walayatu l'amir al-mu'minin wa tabarri min a'da'ih. Be prepared if you want to be saved and be among the inshallah supporters of Sahib al-Zaman, because when Imam al-Zaman comes, he will be calling mankind to the book of Allah, i.e. the Holy Quran, to the tradition of the Prophet of Islam, to the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and freedom from the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Ya Allah, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, ah, ah, ah. Tonight we spoke a little bit about Sahib al-Zaman. I mentioned in the earlier nights, any majlis wherever is held, sincere majalis, the host is Sahib al-Zaman. Brothers, sisters, wallah, it was the wish of Ahlul Bayt. I was sitting here, brothers were Hajriyaz and others, they were doing reciting Marsiyah. I said to myself, really, it was the wish, a wishful thought for Imam Sadiq to have such a big gathering. With all respect to this gathering, you know, around the world, there are gatherings 10 times, 100 times of this, let alone this one. It was the wish of Imam Sadiq that such a crowd are getting together crying for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The majalis of Imam Hussein were held so privately, a few people secretly at the time of Imam Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah, be grateful to God that you have the opportunity that you can attend. Because the host is Imam Zaman, allow me tonight recite few verses of a poem, a sonnet. Usually when I go, I have the honor of going to Karbala. I stand before the haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and recite this qasideh Ra'iyeh ibn Arandas al-Hilli, one of the eminent scholars of the 9th century. His name is Ibn Arandas al-Hilli. Allama Amini rahmatullah alayhi, the author of Al-Ghadir, he says, we have experienced that everywhere, every time that we recite this qasideh in any majlis, Imam Zaman attends. Because Imam Zaman loves this majlis. Because it loves this qasideh. And because it's the night of Imam Zaman, it's in Arabic. I endeavor to quickly translate it, and then I take you to the majlis of Qasim ibn al-Hasan. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. So on behalf of all of us, I'm presenting this to صاحب العصر والزمان. أيقتل ظمآن حسين بكربلا أيقتل ظمآن حسين بكربلا وفي كل عضو من أرامله بحر. He says, is this fair that someone like Hussein ibn Ali is killed in Karbala thirsty, while from every finger of his hand fountains of water are flowing? ووالده الساقي على الحوض في غده وفاطمة ماء الفرات لغى المهروب. Is it fair to kill Hussein thirsty at the bank of the Euphrates while his father is the one who will be serving people of paradise from the pool of Kawthar, and his mother Furat, the river of Euphrates, was her nuptial gift and her mahr? Wawalah fi fawalah fi lil Hussein wa ma ja. عليه غداة الطيف في حربه شمره يا صاحب الزمان أعظم الله أجورك. He says my sorrow and grief is for Hussein and the crime and atrocity that was committed on Hussein on the day of Ashura when shame was sitting on the chest of your grandfather يا صاحب الزمان. Now let's go to the night of Karbala, speaking, introducing to you the orphan of Imam حسن مجتبى قاسم ابن الحسن ابن علي ابن أبي طالب. قاسم, according to most reliable narrators, he was under the age of puberty, so he was an adolescent. Imam حسن مجتبى عليه السلام, when he was poisoned to death and martyred, he left at least three sons. One, the oldest one, his name is حسن, حسن مثنى. Because his father was حسن, he is known as حسن مثنى. سید سوار طباطبایی, known طباطبایی, دار from generation of حسن مثنى. You know, حسن مثنى on Karbala, on the day of Ashura, he was fainted and they thought that he is dead, but he survived. He is the only one who survived, other than Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. The second in term of the age is Janab Qasim ibn al-Hassan, and the third one Abdullah, that inshallah introduce him to you on the day of Ashura. Now Qasim is under the age of puberty. On the night of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is speaking to the companions and letting them know what will happen tomorrow. After Majlis was over, Qasim ibn al-Hassan comes to the uncle. Tonight I need the attention of paternal uncles, huh? Last night I told you moms and uncles, maternal uncles. Tonight the paternal uncles. Uncles, they love their nephews and nieces for some mysterious reasons. And especially Allahu Akbar, inshallah we don't have any uncle. We don't have any brother here whose brother has passed away and left some orphan children behind, and you are the custodian of those children. Brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was the custodian of the children of his brother Imam Hassan. At the time of the martyrdom, Imam Hassan is putting the hands of children into the hands of his brother Hussein. Brother, these are trust in your hand. So Qasim and also Abdullah, from a very young age, they were raised in the house of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The Imam Hussein is like a father for them. Aga Ali Akbar is like an older brother for them. So much they are connected to each other. And the night of Ashura, Qasim ibn Hassan comes to uncle, the fatherly figure. Uncle, ana fi man uqtal? Am I also among those who will be killed tomorrow? Because he was concerned that maybe Imam Hussein is talking and giving the glad tidings of Shahada only for men, and he has not reached the age of puberty. Look at the question Imam is asking his student first. First, Imam Hussein is asking him, Kayfa al-maut indak? That's what I told you, that the students of Azadaran, these are lessons for us to learn and maintain. Imam is asking, tell me, how is this in the way of God for you? Qasim, you have heard, he answered, subhanallah, in a secret way, he answers his teacher, Imam Hussein. He says, Ahla min al-asal, sweeter than honey. Let me tell you where Qasim got this answer from. Qasim is the student, as I told you, he was raised in the house of his master, his uncle, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One day in the past, Imam Hussein is narrating a hadith from his grandfather to the children and the nephews and the nieces as well. And is quoting the prophet, that the holy prophet has said, calamities will fall upon my children and my offspring and the lovers of my offspring. Those who endure patience on the judgment day in paradise, they will be satisfied from the holes, from the pool of Kawthar. Pool of Kawthar, then the Prophet describes it. The pool of Kawthar is ahla min al-asal, abyad min al-laban. Sweeter than honey, whiter than milk. Qasim has remembered this, and this is registered in his mind. Now is about the time to give the lesson back to the teacher. Imam Hussein is asking his student, Kayf al-maut indak? How is this to you? He turns around with no hesitation, says, Aga, you taught me. Ahla min al-asad.
That means that, Aga, I'm eager in earnest to give my life for the sake of God, because I'm interested to be my thirst to be crunched from the pool of Kawthar. Then Imam says, MashaAllah, you passed the test. That means you are ready. Yes, my dear, you will be also among the martyrs tomorrow. The next day, Ashura day comes. Qasim ibn al-Hasan was martyred after Ali Akbar, for your information. Inshallah, in the night of Ali Akbar, we'll mention this. After the martyrdom of Janab Ali Akbar, Qasim, 13-year-old boy, the orphan of Imam Hassan Mujtaba, comes to the uncle. Uncle, I cannot live without Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar was like my older brother. Uncle, please, ista'adhana amma. The narrators say he came and he was begging uncle permission. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, on the night of Ali Akbar, I will tell you, as soon as Janab Ali Akbar sought permission, immediately Imam Hussein gave permission. But brothers, uncles, you know, when you have a trust at home, when you have an orphan at home, for your nephew, you are more perhaps conservative and reserved. Imam Hussein Abba, initially he refused to give him the permission. Eyewitnesses, they say this young boy started kissing the hands and the feet of his uncle until Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave him a permission. But before Qasim jumps on his horse, فَجَعَلَا يَبِكِيَانْ فَغُشِيَا عَلَيْهِمَا Eyewitnesses have narrated uncle and nephew hugged each other. They kept crying until they felt painted. Until eventually it's about the time for Qasim ibn al-Hasan to go and fight. Eyewitnesses describe the face of Janab Qasim ibn al-Hasan كَأَنَّ وَجْهَهُ فِلْقَةَ قَمَرْ. His face was looked like a full moon, so bright and shiny. He went to the front line and started fighting. The enemies in the beginning did not take him serious. They say he is a kid, and therefore they sent some of the amateurs to fight, but soon they realized they made a mistake. Qasim ibn al-Hasan was killing them left and right. Umar Sa'd cried, Shenshenatun, a'arifaha min akhzami, hal taladul hayyatu illa khayyati. What are you waiting for? He's got the blood of Asadullah al-Ghalib in his blood vessel. Don't think that he is a baby. But Qasim ibn al-Hasan is coming back to the uncle proudly. He says, Uncle, did you see how I killed him? Uncle, I'm thirsty. Uncle, I'm losing my energy because of my thirst. Is there any sip of water? Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, My dear, your father at the gate of paradise is waiting you. My dear, I can see paradise is decorated for you, my dear. Go back fighting. Soon your thirst will be quenched from the hand of your father, Imam Hassan. And it did not take long until Qasim ibn al-Hasan painfully cried, Ya Amma, Uncle, help! Allahu Akbar. They say Qasim ibn al-Hasan fell on the ground on his face. Those enemies, they surrounded Qasim ibn al-Hasan, and all the enmity they had against Imam Hassan, they put it on the orphan of Imam Hassan. That by the time Imam Hussein reached the body of the nephew, and Imam painfully cried because Qasim had already departed. Azza wallah ala ammik an tad'awahu fala yujibuk aw yujibuk ya fala yanfa'uk wa sa'lamu alladhina zalamu ala Muhammad أيام غلبين ينقلبون استغفر الله لي ولك